Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Hello?
We're here.
Hello?
We're here.
It's a Dolphins Monday presented by Gunther. Get your new Volkswagen with Gunther Plus at Gunther Volkswagen Fort Lauderdale or online at GuntherVW.net. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. I saw a couple tweets that I think fairly represent the state of football in Miami. First one, Manny Navarro covers the Hurricanes for The Athletic. He tweeted out, 30 games into the Manny Diaz era, the Hurricanes remain mediocre and no closer to their objective. Mm-hmm. And by the way, mediocre might be being generous.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So 30 games in, that's a pretty fair sample size. That's not, you know, Tua, he's played six games and I can tell you. Like, 30 games, you're in the, what is he, in the end of his, or middle of his third season. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's somebody that covers the program on a daily basis. Cam Wolf from NFL Network, and he's going to join us today in the 3 o'clock hour, by the way. Cam Wolf from NFL Network tweeted, game on the line, and you hand it to Malcolm Brown up the gut on fourth down, that's a bad coaching decision in what has been a poor game for Brian Flores. If you trust your QB at all, you have him get you the first down.
At a shotgun. I was just want to add, he's 100%
out
right.
Of the shotgun.
I just want to add that. That was dumb.
So there were coaching issues yesterday in that Dolphins game. You cannot pretend that there weren't. I will tell you, on the Tua Tagovailoa front, he's the least of your worries right now.
Oh, I don't know if they want to hear this. Tua showed out.
Yeah, I thought he was all right.
All right?
Yeah, I mean, he had one 330? Awful interception. Other than that, he was
– without the drops, and if they didn't put, I don't know, Jacoby Brissett in to throw the fourth down pass, I didn't even that coaching decision was weird to me. That man could have went for 400. He would have had 100 quarterback rating. Two touchdowns. The interception was dumb. He admitted it. Like, you know, the greats have an interception every now and again.
And again, he's still a young quarterback, so he's going to make mistakes.
Tua looked good. They were stretching the field, going downfield, using their weapons. Waddle had, what, 10 catches? Gesicki had 8 catches? Like, Tua played well. But the second and third quarter, they die.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas game. I looked it up. Vegas game, those two quarters, they died. Las Vegas game, them two quarters, they died. In the Colts game, they scored 0 points in the second and third quarter. I'm putting that on the coordinators and the play call.
It has to be. It has to be. They come out, that opening drive was great. You've told us before that's generally scripted, yep. So they've worked on that all week, and it looked phenomenal. Tua, what he did yesterday, though, was against the second worst passing defense in the NFL. Yeah. So I take it with a grain of salt. But again, least of your issues coming out of yesterday. I thought Brian Flores' coaching decisions were bizarre at times. Mm-hmm. Bizarre. Yeah. And the coordinators, I mean, I don't get it. Jalen Waddle disappears. He's a huge part of the offense first quarter. Then he disappears. And the personnel, like, I mean, we can, and we'll talk about it today. Adam Beasley from Pro Football Network is going to join us. Cam Wolf from NFL Network is going to join us. And we're going to carry for you the Brian Flores press conference today. It's at 4 o'clock. Usually it's at 2 o'clock on Mondays, but because they were traveling back from England, jolly old England, The press conference is at 4 o'clock. We will air it for you live. But yeah, there were a lot of issues yesterday. I mean, they're a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to the worst team in the league.
Does that make you the worst team in the league?
Yeah, I think they have the longest losing streak in the NFL.
The Lions are winless still, I believe.
But I think, you're right. So they would have a longer
right now,
losing streak.
Right now, the Lions have the worst record in the NFL.
So they're 0-6.
And they technically have the number one overall pick as it stands. The Dolphins are second, but as we all know, not that we want to rehash this, but the Dolphins gave their pick to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
Who will pick, it looks like, 3 times in the top 15.
I mean, can we say definitively the rebuild, if that's what it was, didn't work? It's a failure, and it needs to be blown up?
The rebuild was a failure. Blown up like everybody goes blown up?
I don't know.
That's a great question. I don't think I'm smart enough to answer that question, to be honest, but the continuity thing you talk about, and do you have to fire everybody? New OC, new DC, new head coach, all that, the whole dynamic. You have to make moves. I don't know if I'm running away from the question, but moves need to be made because you can't score in the second and third quarter. You get outplayed and out coached too. Now we've been on Flores' side.
Coached.
You got out coached in
London. By
Urban Meyer, who I know is not ready for this. They might go 1-15, 1-16 now with the extended game. Like, they're not a good team, not impressive, simple offense. You played right into what they wanted, running zone all game. All they did was run zone. Xavier Howard and Byron Jones. And I see why they paid them so much damn money. Because without them, they are a different defense. That defense is nothing what we saw last year. And now you take those two guys out of it, they just set back. Oh, you want to throw it underneath? Well, throw it underneath, but it's 3rd and 8. Like, underneath is 11 yards. Do something to not let them get the first down.
And it really, I think it showed you, Noah Igbinoghene, not a great first-round pick.
Take his shoulder pads back off.
Not a great first-round
pick. Not joking. Like, he was inactive, and we've given him heart. Noah Igbinoghene is not he should not be on the NFL field right now. I don't know if somebody can teach him how to play. Noah Igbinoghene is not a NFL player as we sit here
but
today.
But to me, there's so many personnel decisions. Like, the fact that you had to give it to Malcolm Brown on 4th and 1, you've told us now for 2 seasons, essentially, you don't need a marquee running back. Mm-hmm. That's what you've told us, Chris Greer. Like, yep. Because there were marquee running backs available for 2 seasons. You had so many draft picks. And what they've told you was, now maybe this is Brian Flores telling Chris Greer. I don't know the chain of command. But they have told us, we don't need a marquee back. We can kind of mix and match and make it work. Maybe you can if you have a stellar offensive line. But the fact that you had to give it to Malcolm Brown showed you, like, there's a dearth at that position. Because Myles Gaskin didn't do much of anything yesterday. Malcolm Brown, I wouldn't be giving it to him in that situation. But that, again, personnel decisions. I saw a bunch of people over social media over the weekend bringing up, Josh Rosen gave up a second-round pick, essentially, for Josh Rosen. Like, there's some questions to be answered.
And playing at 9 a.m. and being able to just sit at home with my son and watch football.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the running back situation. I watched Le'Veon Bell come off a practice squad for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
I watched Alex Collins, who was a free agent and nobody really wanted because all those guys at Seattle got hurt. Carson and all those guys got hurt. Go out there and
show out. 10 yards every time he got the ball.
Like, I'm watching these free agent one-year guys that y'all just said, no, we don't need them. We're good to go. Malcolm Brown was the guy last year we hated. We literally hated him. We made fun of him for a week.
You know who had a long carry? Long carry last night? Kalen Ballage.
Kalen! Let's not bring Kalen back.
Know.
But it's just, yes, that running back situation. There's a lot of – this is a – Flo had a rough one. I'm not going to – Flo had a rough one with decisions. Chris Greer has to be meeting with the brass right now and asking about Jackson, Igmanogany, some of these decisions he's made.
Not drafting a running back.
Yep.
Not drafting a running back. All right, we have a lot of stuff to cover today, obviously. Let's get headlines. We've got Adam Beasley from Pro Football Network joining us this hour. Cam Wolf, NFL Network in the 3 o'clock hour. The Brian Flores press conference in the 4 o'clock hour. We have tickets to the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They are coming to Hard Rock Stadium August of 2022. Red Hot Chili Peppers, one of the best live concerts I have ever seen in my life. Granted, I saw them in a club when I went to the University of Miami. I think it was like the Cameo or something, and not like a tiny club, but like a small venue. Here they are playing Hard Rock Stadium. They're going to have no problem selling that place out. But we've got tickets for you every day this week. And what we're going to do is at some point before 6 o'clock, we're going to fire off a Red Hot Chili Peppers song. Now, maybe it's coming back from commercials. Maybe it's in the middle of an interview. Maybe it's while Brian Flores is speaking.
Ooh.
Whenever Solana feels it, he is going to fire off a Red Hot Chili Peppers song. When you hear it, you got to be caller 77. No, you be caller, what, Solana? 10?
Ask, check in with him.
I'll do 77 if you want.
Check in with Solana. Come on, man. We gave you an opportunity.
All right, 10.
Caller 10. When you hear a Red Hot Chili Pepper song today at some point, be caller 10 to 786-360-0790. You can program it into your phone right now if you want. We'll see it ringing. I'm not going to answer, but caller 10, 786-360-0790. When you hear us, play a Red Hot Chili Pepper song. And if you're caller 10, you're going to get a pair of tickets to see them in concert, Hard Rock Stadium, August of 2022. Obviously, you can buy tickets right now if you don't win them.
Can I ask, because y'all were texting that in our pre-show text when y'all said we have RHCP ticks to give away every day.
Mm.
I didn't know what the hell was going on. Is that me?
I didn't know if Solana even knew, because I'm like a Red Hot Chili Peppers fan, and that is an abbreviation for the band. But I honestly didn't know if Solana would know that that was an abbreviation.
I've seen the Chili Peppers twice, once front row.
Wow. Like, it's an unbelievable show, no?
I'll be at Hard Rock. This is my girlfriend's favorite band.
Yeah.
So, hey, look, you want to talk about Chili Peppers, you come talk to me. I don't know.
All right, so you know RHCP or no?
Yeah, I know RHCP. I don't know if Hawk is a real fan, Crowder. Okay. You want to talk about the Chili Peppers,
he's
you come talk to me.
He's lied to us before now.
He has.
No,
he has.
He's lied to us. He told us he was the world's biggest Weekend fan. And then I started telling him all these facts about the Weekend, and he was like, no, that's not true, except it was true.
The Weekend.
Weekend. Right, yeah, we got you. So I don't think he knows much about Red Hot Chili Peppers. What's your favorite song?
Snow. I can play Snow later.
All right. Okay.
Is that Californication?
Yeah.
Californication.
That's them. Oh, I know how this is going to smell. When is it? August 2022? I got it now. I know how this venue is going to smell.
Yeah, no doubt. No, you're not lying.
I'm telling you.
All right, let's get headlines here. Headlines with the world's biggest Red Hot Chili Peppers fan, Alejandro Solana.
These headlines are sponsored by Golf Miami-Dade with 5 convenient courses. Book your tee time today at golfmiamidade.com. It's also brought to you by Indeed. Is finding the right candidate slowing you down? You know, maybe Stephen Ross should be listening to this promo right here. Cut straight to you're hired with Indeed. Our hiring platform makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place to find your next great hire. Ross, visit Indeed.com/credit.
So this Noah Igbinogany, he did okay at Auburn. I mean,
there's so many questions when it comes to personnel.
Because
to me, again, I could make the case that I don't need to draft a marquee running back if I've got the offensive line that I've put together that'll back it up. I'm trying to think of, like, you know, when Brian Flores came from New England, who was that dude? Jonas Gray. Remember? Yeah. Jonas Gray, okay, he wants to F around, so we'll put someone else in there, and Jonas Gray is no longer a star. We could have made him a star. It didn't matter who we had back then.
People that don't remember, that was a guy that had 4 touchdowns in a game, and they cut him a week or two
later. Right, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and then he showed up late, I think, for a meeting, and Bill Belichick said, oh, you think it was you? Like, you think you're the special one? So I get the theory of, you know, I can pop anyone in there. But if you're the guy picking the personnel – and whoever you're putting back there isn't able to gain the 1 yard on a consistent basis. Either it's the fact that you don't have the right running back or you don't have the right offensive line, but either way, it's on you.
Whatever the miss was, something didn't hit in your plan.
Right.
Yeah.
So, lots of questions.
So, the Miami Dolphins will host the Atlanta Falcons, who had a bye week. They're 2-3 coming off a win in London over the New York Jets. That's next Sunday at 1 p.m. And the Hurricanes, they will host next Saturday. Doesn't get much easier for the Canes. 18th-ranked NC State. It's a 7:30 p.m. game.
Okay.
There was some more losing over the weekend here in South Florida. Inter-Miami lost 4-0 to Columbus on Saturday. That makes 6 straight losses. They have not scored a goal since September 22nd.
Goodness.
And that one goal they scored was just a 1 goal in their last 6 games.
Wow.
Yeah. I think mathematically it's still possible, but they're done. They're not making the playoffs. They're going to host Toronto Wednesday at 7:30.
What was that M-word he used? Mathematically.
Mathematically.
Why do you put so many syllables in it?
Mathematically.
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 No, you say mathematically. It's like you just learned it.
Mathematically.
Mathematically.
Hey, Demesman and Culver, relax over there, okay?
Now you're getting personal.
Sorry.
Sorry.
There was some winning, though. The Florida Panthers, they beat the Islanders 5-1.
They did.
They play tomorrow versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. Rematch season.
That's a big game tomorrow. They'll be in Tampa. Spencer Knight getting the start in goal after 2 excellent games by Sergei Bobrovsky.
That's rotating. It's no problem.
I'm not a fan of it.
You want to just keep Bob in there?
Sergei Bobrovsky played, in my opinion, 2 very good games. Saturday night, even better than opening night. Tampa is your biggest opponent, obviously. They're the ones that bounced you out in the first round. I ride the hot hand. I had this on a text thread with somebody today, and they're like, well, I'm going to go with the Hall of Fame coach over you, his decision. I go, okay. But I just think it's a mistake. Like, why not keep playing the hot hand against maybe the best team in the conference? You'll have plenty of games to put Spencer Knight in and plenty of games against Tampa to play Spencer Knight. So I'd keep riding Sergei Bobrovsky. I understand having 2 goalies, that's a great luxury, and it's what they did last season with Bob and Chris Drieger. But Bob was having a terrible season. Mm-hmm. Right now, he looks really good to me, so I think it's a mistake.
You think it's a chess thing with Coach Q? Like, this is so early in the season, why show him everything? Throw Knight out there.
I almost think that it's a plan. I almost think it's the plan where they put Tua in that week with the Dolphins where it was like, wait a second, are we still, like, Fitzpatrick's playing well. Why are you doing this? And it was like, well, that's the plan. I think that was the plan, but I think you have to kind of audible a little bit when Bobrovsky has looked so good. And it's not like it's back-to-back games or something. They played Saturday night. They don't play till Tuesday, but whatever. I mean, Coach Quenville obviously knows more than I do.
I'm going to ride with Coach Q. I love you to death.
I am too. I'm riding with Coach Q.
Okay.
Tonight, Monday Night Football, the Titans, they host the Buffalo Bills. That's at 8:15 p.m.
I'll stick to my lane, gambling.
Nope. I would rather go with Coach Q's picks over yours of what we did this weekend. Goodness gracious. We're in the red deep.
Deep.
I'm eating leftovers all week.
you got with us? You were on the whole weekend?
The whole weekend.
He's in the thread, man. He's
Solana,
part of it.
We got you now, bro. You got to ride it out.
The weather from the Demesman Dover Accident Attorney Weather Center, called 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. Right now, 82 degrees, was nice and cooler this morning, especially in Miami. Tonight, the lows are going to drop into the mid to lower 70s. That's your weather.
All right. Adam Beasley from Pro Football Network. We will talk Dolphins woes with him in the next segment.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no.
Hawk and Crowder.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Adam Beasley is the NFL insider for Pro Football Network and covered the Dolphins for a long time with the Miami Herald. He is joining us now. Bees, what's going on with the Miami Dolphins, and how does a 10-win team from last season go to 1-5 and lose to ostensibly the worst team in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest, Hawk. When I left the team, things were great.
It's on Bees.
So it's Beasley's fault. They should have retained you.
Yeah, I mean, 10-6, they were talking about making a Super Bowl run. Tua's going to be a star. All these breakout wide receivers, the best secondary in the NFL. Pass rush from every angle. They're going to scheme it up. A young, improving offensive line, one of the best tight ends in football. What happened, Hawk?
You tell me, you're the NFL insider.
I think last year was a bit of fool's gold. I think we saw a team that benefited from 29 turnovers and a lot of unsustainable plays that were ultimately not sustainable. You go back and think about the Rams game last year and how they were outgained, what was it, 2-1, 3-1 maybe, and had a special teams touchdown, had a defensive touchdown, had a fumble return back to the 5. That was, I think, on Tua's first 3 drives as a pro, he had 21 points and like 11 yards. So a lot of those things went right for the team last year. And now none of those things are going right this year. And I got to be honest, Hawk, the coaching is failing them as much as the players are. Yesterday was for a team that was without its top 2 cornerbacks, without 3 of its top 4 wide receivers, with a quarterback who had a busted rib still, who probably didn't feel great when he even breathed. They hung in there, and the coaching failed them at the end. A couple of just tactical blunders by Brian Flores cost them that game. Now, you could make the argument it should never have been that close against ostensibly the worst team in football, which that needs revision. I think the Miami Dolphins now are the worst team in football. But regardless, that was an imminently winnable game, and it's a game that Brian Flores has won in each of his first 2 seasons. He won a bunch of games like that in 2019 to get the 5 wins that no one could believe he did, and now it's all going wrong. And Hawk, it's crazy because it's not just one thing. If for the first 4 weeks we were crushing the offensive line, crushing the offense, crushing George Godsey, in the last couple of weeks they've been okay. I mean, the offensive line on Sunday was not the reason that they lost. I think they only allowed like 3 quarterback hits the entire day. I mean, Tua was getting the ball out fast, but it wasn't on the O-line. The quarterback threw for 300 yards and was relatively efficient, but it was something else. It was coaching blunders. It was a couple of defensive laps. It was just, you know, I don't get it. And I think at the end of the day, good teams are good and win, and bad teams are bad and lose. And right now the Dolphins are a bad team.
And, Bees, if you look at a highlight reel, if you look at the numbers, 33 for 47, 329, 2 touchdowns, 1 bad interception. Like, if you – I would say Tua played well. Tua looked good. Is that the case? Because they still lost. They only scored 20 points. Did Tua look good? Did Tua change anybody's mind yesterday?
I mean, he did need 47 passes to get to 326 yards. That's kind of a red flag. And again, people are going to say, well, look who he is throwing to. And Mac Hollins should not be a starting wide receiver in the NFL. Think about this. When training camp started in late July, if you had told me that in a must-win game, and yesterday was a must-win game for the team, and honestly probably for Chris Greer and maybe even for Brian Flores, that your wide receivers were going to be, you know, Jalen Waddle, Mac Hollins, and kind of Albert Wilson. Albert Wilson was the number 3 yesterday, and that was it. That you get like 7 snaps out of, was it Isaiah play a couple snaps, I think. I mean, they had some. Nobody was out there on Sunday. That's catastrophic. I mean, that's really you can't win in the NFL when you do that. And I think for me, honestly, I look back at the personnel decisions that they have made. That you commit to a Will Fuller who has a long injury history. You commit to a Devontae Parker who has a long injury history. You draft a Jalen Waddle who was banged up in college. You bring back Preston Williams who can't stay healthy. Hurt guys stay hurt, and they have a bunch of hurt guys at wide receiver. And, you know, just like you don't you know, blame Tiger for going Tiger. You can't blame the hurt players for getting hurt. You have to put that on Chris Greer and Brian Flores for thinking that this was the right way to build their roster. And all these mistakes and all these wasted draft picks and all this wasted cap space, again, another $10 million that they flushed down the toilet for Will Fuller, all these things, there's an accumulative effect. And you're seeing it, I think, with the New England Patriots, with their roster mismanagement over the last 5 years. Tom Brady isn't there to save them anymore. The Dolphins don't have a Tom Brady to save them from themselves. And right now, they're really in the dog days.
And, Bees, this second and third quarter lull, because even going back, I did some research. Like, they scored, what, 3 points in the second and third quarter yesterday. In the Tampa Bay game, they scored 17 but had 10 points in the first quarter. Colts game, they didn't put a point on the board in the third and second and third quarter. Is that back on coaching staff when you start strong and finish strong, but you have two quarters where you do nothing?
I mean, I just think it's a reflection of a mediocre to bad team. I mean, they're not consistent. I think that's, you know, that rant I was going on earlier about how it's one thing or the other. When there's no consistency, when there's nothing – like, what's the one thing, guys, that you can point to on this team that you feel confident that when they're going to go out there, they're going to execute their assignment? It used to be their secondary. That's gone. It used to be forcing turnovers. That's kind of gone. I mean, there's what you thought you could depend on, you can't. And they have players with enormous variance. Like Mike Gesicki, yeah, he's catching the ball now. He's making a bunch of plays. Why did it take till week six for it to happen? Because honestly, guys, it's a mediocre to bad coaching staff with a mediocre to bad roster, and they're not getting the breaks they got last year. And what's so mind-boggling is if we were seeing this 2 years ago, or even a little bit last year, you'd say, okay, the roster is still immature. It's still coming together. No, this is a fully mature roster with tons of assets poured into it over the last three seasons. And they're as bad now as they were in 2019. I mean, that's crazy to say, but what is the functional difference between this team and that team? That team, you know, had a quarterback at least you could depend on week to week. Sometimes he had some bad games, but Fitzy would keep you in all those games. You can't even say that definitively about Tua at this point. So for the fact that we're 24 months removed from where we thought, you know, that was just a one-off. It was, let's take our medicine this year and get a bunch of draft picks and a bunch of cap space, and we'll be off to the races. For us to be back there 2 years later and not really seeing the light at the end of the tunnel has to be completely devastating to Dolphins fans because, I mean, they bought in, right? I mean, Dolphins fans believed the flow cess or whatever. I mean, they believed that there were better days ahead, and I think they were sold a bill of goods.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's similar to the Philadelphia 76ers, right? You say trust the flow cess instead of trust the process. So I have to ask you, because I asked Crowder at the beginning of the show today. Adam Beasley is with us. You can read his work at Pro Football Network. Is the rebuild officially a bust? Does this thing need to be blown up?
Well, what's salvageable? I mean, what do you look at from that roster and say, yes, this is what we're going to build around? Is it Tua? I don't know. I mean, quarterback play was the least of their issues yesterday, but is he a guy who's going to win you a Super Bowl? I still think that's a stretch, to say the least. But you used to think, hey, if you have the, you know, it was the highest paid set of corners in the league, man, now maybe it's two or three, I don't know, I haven't looked at the rankings lately, but you would think those guys would be locked down. They haven't been, and they've been hurt too. So yeah, I mean, if you're asking me, like, a teardown is a bad idea. We've seen a teardown can go catastrophically wrong in the NFL. And when you have, and you could probably count on one hand how many players predated Brian Flores are still on the roster, because there's no guarantee it's going to work. So I don't think Steve Ross is 81 years old. I don't think he's ever going to okay a detonation of that team again. But they need a drastic course correction. And does that course correction meet a new general manager? The rationale for keeping Chris Greer after what we've seen this year, after what we've seen in the draft, what we saw in the 2020 offseason, which I think by all accounts was a total swing and a miss, he's going to answer some tough questions. Now, what do you do beyond that? I think Brian Flores is still a very good football coach. He had probably his worst day ever yesterday, but he's a pretty good football coach. But if you're an aspiring GM and you're one of these hot names that the Dolphins might look for in the offseason, do you want to be saddled with Brian Flores? Or would you say, no, I'm gonna take another opportunity, or I'll stay where I am now and bet on 2023 getting one of these jobs because I don't want to be tied to Brian Flores? That's not a conversation that doesn't exist. I mean, those things are real considerations. So, yeah, I mean, Steve Ross does not want to be doing this. He thought he set this team up to ride into his twilight years and let them kind of just be this self-perpetuating motion machine and win every year and be competitive. Remember, that was again, the bill of goods we were sold. We don't want to have 1 year of being really good and fall back and being 6-10. This team would kill to be 6-10 right now, right? I mean, 6-10 would be a huge step forward from what we've seen from this roster. I mean, so, yeah, it's – I don't know, but Ross, assuming he doesn't sell the team, which there's no indications he's going to, is going to probably be very wary of another 3-5-year rebuild. The problem is, guys, that might be what it takes because they've had so many misses. And their cap that we thought was managed well was not managed that well because they've got no cap space right now and they've got no good players or very few good players. I don't have an answer for it. I really, really don't. I'm sorry. I wish I could tell your listeners here's the silver bullet. Here's what's going to make things better. It's not that. I mean, guys, this is crazy to ask, but is Steve Ross the problem? I mean, is you look at the last 15 years of this franchise, and since he took over full ownership from Wayne Huizenga, and it's been the same issue time and time again. It's been dysfunction. It's been misses in free agency. It's been misses in the draft. It's been a bad offense. It's been a bad offensive line. It's been a defense that's underperformed. What's the constant in all that? The coaches come and go. The GMs come and go. People are going to get fired over this as well. But what belief would you have, and I'll ask you guys this, what belief would you have that anything will be different because the guy making decisions hasn't changed?
He's my dream owner, though.
He spends a lot of money. He puts a lot of effort in, but is he making the right decisions?
But he allows the people that he's hired to make the decision. It's why I think he's been a terrific owner. Now, maybe he's put the wrong people in position to make those decisions. Yeah. I get that. But I kind of feel like that's what you want from the owner of a team. He wanted Lamar Jackson, and his football guys said no, and he didn't force their hand. Sure, that would have been a better choice, but, I mean, I kind of feel like he's been a dream owner.
The other extreme is a Jerry Jones, who's involved in everything.
He's the
every
general manager
minute.
And the owner. He makes final say on everything.
Guys, why does it have to be one or the other? I mean, I think where Steve really, really misses the boat is how many owners do you see have success that live 1,200 miles away from their team? Mm. Like, there's something to be said about an owner who's not hands-on, but really, really engaged. And, yes, Jerry Jones is the extreme, and, you know, we've been mocking Jerry Jones for 20 years, but all of a sudden they've got a really good football team that might win the Super Bowl. But, again, this is an anomaly. It's the exception that disproves the rule. I think a better example are the Baltimore Ravens, the Dolphins would kill to be the Baltimore Ravens. Two championships in the last 20 years. They every quarterback they've drafted has hit on, and their owner is a guy named Steve Bisciotti. And I'm sure most of our listeners don't know who that is, and that's by design. He keeps a lower profile, but he is there every single day, and there is a level of detail and a level of commitment and a level of professionalism that he brings, and you can bring by being there every day. That Steve just doesn't have because of the logistics involved. And you're right. You're absolutely right, guys. He trusts the people to make the right decisions, and they haven't. But maybe you should ask, is this the right guy to be putting these people in place? He is fantastic at writing checks. He is fantastic at building gorgeous stadiums and gorgeous training facilities and doing everything on the surface that you want an owner to do. Why is it that none of it's worked? I think a deeper study of that needs to be had because, yes, we're going to crush Flores. Yes, we're going to crush Chris Greer. If Tua doesn't pan out, yes, we're going to crush Tua. But they're symptoms. They're not the disease. The disease is what's been wrong with the Miami Dolphins for the last 20 years.
And, Bees, I got to ask you now because we're talking about, you know, making an adjustment, and we're not on this show, we're not into just taking people's jobs, firing people and all that. But if this offense continues on the path it's on, you know, scoring 17, 20 points a game, you have to make a move. Can a head coach keep his job if you go through four offensive coordinators in 4 years, O'Shea, Gailey, Godsey, Stoutsville, and now another guy? Can a head coach keep his job through that?
Channing, I think you're asking slightly the wrong question. I think the right question is this. What faith do you have that he'll get the right guy in place? What has shown you that he has the ability to not only identify the right person to call plays, but to lure them into coming here? I mean, I think that they're one of the biggest failures that Brian Flores has had is his staff building. You look at that coaching staff, guys, and how many stars are there? How many rising stars? People crushed Philbin. People crushed Gase. Philbin had like three or four NFL head coaches on his staff. He had Dan Campbell. He had Zach Taylor. He had Sherman was on that staff. He had a competent professional coaching staff. The guy at the top, Philbin, was a bad coach, but he, up and down the roster, you saw potential. Where do you see that potential from this staff? And I think part of it, guys, is because Flores, all he had known before he took the Miami Dolphins was the New England Patriots. And I'm sure that there was some degree of limitations on what Patriots you could take with him when he came to Miami. You know, Belichick didn't want him raiding his entire coaching staff, but he still took a lot of guys. He still took an offensive coordinator. The defensive coordinator obviously didn't come directly from New England, but had New England flavor. There are a lot of guys on that original staff that were his buddies. And that's fine. There's all kinds of nepotism in the NFL, and it works in a lot of places. It's working right now in Dallas. You know, Mike McCarthy, I don't have a great deal of admiration for as a head coach, but he's put together a really good staff. But when it didn't work out in 2019 and he, you know, moved on from O'Shea and you know, the D.C. went to New York and all, you know, he didn't have a plan B. And that, to me, is concerning. When you're pulling guys out of high school to be your head coach, be a position coach, when you're pulling guys out of college like Charlie Fry, who I don't think he even had a real relationship with before he called him to have him come down here and coach his quarterbacks, you're kind of grasping at straws. And so I think what we're seeing now is the O-line coach, he can't be more than 30 years old. You have a bunch of young guys who are on the staff and experienced guys with the first time they have this opportunity. And if what you're saying, you know, the Dolphins stick with Flores and they you know, reconstruct their coaching staff, A, how has his Rolodex improved in the last 12 months? And B, if you're one of these guys that he's built a relationship with recently, why would you come to a team that the coach is on the hottest of hot seats? That's why, to me, I mean, again, I think Brian is a really, really smart football coach, and I think he does a lot of things well. But you put it all together, it's not just X's and O's. It's leading a franchise and it's hiring a staff and doing all of these things that he's done poorly. And if you're Steve Ross and you put on top of that your GM pick, I'm just saying this is a hypothetical, your GM pick doesn't want to be saddled with Brian Flores, all these things add up to a coaching firing. So we're not there yet. I mean, obviously, it didn't happen today. It didn't happen on the flight back from London. The Dolphins' bye is not for 2 months still, so there's not an easy time in the schedule to do it. And honestly, guys, because of what I mentioned, I don't even know why you would benefit from a mid-season coaching change, because who on that staff is going to step up? But all that being said, if I was Brian Flores, it's not just what I do on Sundays. It's how I run that franchise Monday through Sunday. The players that, and again, he's gotten a bit of a pass. Greer's gotten smoked for a lot of these picks, but there's not a single player on that roster that Brian Flores didn't at least sign off on and perhaps even advocate for. So you put it all together, and what's the rationale for keeping this thing together for another year? And I think at some point Steve Ross is going to come to that realization.
Well, this was fun. Thanks, Bees.
Don't you guys have any, National Donut Day or anything to talk about?
It's National Chocolate Cupcake Day.
I do enjoy those.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't? Actually, I don't really like cupcakes, to be quite honest. I think it's a terrible delivery device for the frosting.
You're a cake guy more than a cupcake?
Yeah, it's just a bad delivery device for the frosting. You know what I mean? That's why you're having the cupcake.
What?
Have you ever seen a plain cupcake? It's not worth it. Adam Beasley, read his work at profootballnetwork.com. I'm on Twitter as well, Adam H. Beasley. Thank you, Bees.
Great talking to you, cupcake.
There you go. We got to take a break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hock and Crowder Show.
Oh, no.
Hock and Crowder.
There's an amazing Twitter beef going on right now. Have you seen this? Did you see what DK Metcalf did last night at the end of the Seahawks game? End of the Seahawks Pittsburgh game?
No, what did he do?
So he catches the ball. Did you see it, Solana? catches,
I did not.
Catches the ball. Clock's running out. They're going to kick a field goal to tie it or win it. This is in regulation. They're going to kick a field goal to tie it. DK Metcalf catches the ball in field goal territory, needs to just run out of bounds. Instead, he, on the sideline, turns forward, runs forward for another yard. Ball gets punched right out of his arm. And Seattle ends up recovering, but the clock has run down now to almost zero. Seattle has no timeouts left. He needed to get out of bounds. And because they wanted to review, Mike Tomlin went crazy yesterday because of this. It was a terrible play by DK Metcalf. It was a terrible play. Shannon Sharp tweets out, what was DK thinking? Why try to play hero in that situation? DK Metcalf responds, I just saw this, stop questioning me, little boy. Holy moly. This is Shannon Sharp.
Uh-huh.
Stop questioning me, little boy. Shannon Sharp now has responded, nothing to question. That was dumbass, in quotes, play, and your pride won't let you admit it. You can't question anything I've done. Pray your resume will be as complete as mine. Pray. Enjoy the rest of your day. And DK Metcalf responds, from the looks of it, I can wipe my ass with yours. Continue to gossip, you washed up wannabe. Holy moly. What is going on?
These new age kids don't look at Shannon.
Holy hell.
To be fair, he followed that up with his own tweet. You know what? You're right. At Shannon Sharp, I do pray my resume can match up with yours. Hashtag work in progress, baby. So to be fair, he followed it up.
He did the Crowder thing. Stop questioning me, lil' boy. You're my man, though. You're my dude.
Big dog.
I mean, that's crazy.
We talk about this. You think like Jamar Chase looks at Shannon Sharp like we do?
No, not at all. That's why, I mean, we always talk about, you know, Ed Reed. Does it really mean anything to kids that are going to the U? Pat Riley. Does it really mean much to, you know, if Kyrie Irving dropped the rings, if Pat Riley dropped the rings in front of Kyrie Irving, would it make, like, you don't know anymore, but.
Some old dude had a bag of rings for me at this meeting. It was weird. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. And, stop questioning me, little boy.
Another thing. Who did Shannon Sharp get out of pocket with and have them on air live when
Julio Jones.
Julio Jones.
So I would say that these young age guys look at Shannon as a you know.
Hey, Unc.
No, not even Unc. As a manipulative media member more than Shannon Sharp, the great tight end.
Stop questioning me, little boy. All right, 3 o'clock hours next on Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no.
Hawk and Crowder.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.